Hey, podcast listener, this is Rob Cisternino. I'm the Rob, and Rob has a podcast, and the new season of Survivor is just getting started, and we've got new episodes for you 5 days a week. Join us for interviews with your favorite past Survivor players and this season's losers right after they get their torch snubbed. Listen free to Rob Has a Podcast, exclusively available on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. And if you like the show, why not share it with a friend or leave us a rating and review on iTunes?
This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let Ace show you how. Ace on the house.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, get on. And welcome to Ace on the House. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Eric Stromer
Hey-o.
Over there.
I love how you come in. You light this place up with that, don't you?
Like
just
a
like
Roman
a shining
candle.
Like a Roman candle. That's right.
What are you working on, Stromer?
Well, you know, I'm exhausted. I just came back from North Carolina, this NYBL tournament for the youth basketball guys, right? And these are all the dudes that are 6'8", 7th graders, dunking. Everybody's dunking.
It's weird.
It's crazy, isn't it? The athleticism now is unbelievable. And and by the way, I saw you had a little brutalized injury.
I did.
From some hand-to-hand combat out there on the boards.
I did. I'm in the old man basketball league. Let me ask this about the basketball league that starts off with good intentions. It always starts off with, all right, all the dads, all the old dads, we're just going to get together and kind of shake the dust off, and no one's diving for loose balls or anything like that. Yeah. We're just going to get together, kind of have a friendly game. And you go, okay, and so-and-so's dad shows up, and Matt's dad shows up, and this guy's dad shows up. And then there's two guys, and they show up. But these guys are in their late 30s. They're not in their late 40s,
they still have
early 50s.
They got a vertical.
They got some lift. And I'm not sure whose dads they are, but they're just there.
They're ringers.
And because they're there, you figure, well, they must have heard through the proper channels or whatever. And then these two guys proceed to tear it up. They're throwing elbows. They're driving and spinning and spinning and driving. And it's just a whirling dervish of elbows. And they're calling foul before the ball leaves their hand and
that kind
of stuff. And I don't know what etiquette is, but you want to tap them on the shoulder at some point and go, whose dad are you? What are you doing in this old dad's game?
Yeah.
We had an agreement not to really try. And now you guys are up here trying way too hard.
Did it make you try and up your game and compete on that level, or did it just get you pissed and you didn't want to do it?
You start to try initially, you're inspired.
Yeah.
You go from inspired to tired.
Yes.
In like one transition. Like you think to yourself, you know what? I'm going to hustle in this one transition, and from inspired to tired.
So, you know, I've been doing this 5 years with my kid, and I did this thing you did several years ago, and, you know, of course, pulled my rib and then turned the ankle, and then the young guy comes, and then one of the kid's dads is really young, like he was maybe 28, 29 years old. I don't know how old he was when he had this kid, but I just found it's best now to simply rebound and pass the child the shots that he's practicing with.
Because I
got hurt and I got insulted and I got sad and I got demoralized and I felt like, wow.
Yeah.
My mind says I'm soaring high above the rim and I'm literally 2 inches off the ground and sad.
I got a little insight from Dr. Drew.
What did he say?
From this heinous bruise I have on my upper arm, which is...
I would call that a contusion, wouldn't we?
It's a contusion.
Yeah.
No, he said to me... I didn't want to have to admit it in front of him, but I said, look at this bad bruise. And then he said, I wanted him to diagnose it. And he said, did you eat aspirin before that? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, Jimmy's wife's party was Saturday night. The drinks were flowing and the beat was pumping. And yes, I did partake. And then I woke up the next morning with a hellacious hangover and took like 3 Excedrin. And he's like, that's all aspirin. That's just like a ton of aspirin.
Oh, because you're.
And I said, oh. So we figured out it wasn't my high threshold for pain or my rough and tumble attitude. It was that I OD'd on aspirin.
You're bleeding
because
out.
Because I drank too much
right.
the night before. Yeah. Which you never like to admit
because
in front of Dr. Drew.
It thins the blood then and then it
and
shows
the,
up.
The reason yeah. the thing was as grotesque as it was without the, you know, I wasn't abducted by Al-Qaeda and beaten with a bat. I was like backed into by a 50-year-old guy with a dad bod is because I drank so much the night before. I was so hungover the next morning that I OD'd on Excedrin. Which has a ton of aspirin yeah. in it, and thus I bled out.
Okay,
on the court.
Now the most important question, I'm sure all of us are on the edge of our seats. What kind of moves were you busting on the dance floor?
I don't remember a lot of it, but I do remember at some point Matt Damon literally came out of the shadows and said, "Hey, Adam, what are you doing here?" Something like that. And then he proceeded to join my dance move, which had us going in a circle. And we did a few
circles,
and then he sort of just shot out.
Wow.
Yeah, was he it entered so, my orbit.
But was
and then
it like, was it a partnering move, or was it more like you were both just in a mosh pit running in a direction together?
It was a partnering move that wasn't gay, but could have quickly taken a turn for the homoerotic. That's what I want to say about it.
You were all essentially right. chasing Jason Bourne in a circle on the dance floor.
I didn't think of that at the time, but yes, that is exactly what I was doing. All right. Let me tell you guys about Timberland. Let me give you a few words from our sponsor. Flap, pustule, jowls, nugget. Gurgle, smear, curd, bulbous, tender, dongle, pork, and moist. Whether you're a construction worker, warehouse worker, or podcast host, hearing certain words on the job site can make work uncomfortable. So let's get to work and let's be comfortable. Timberland's got the gear to make you comfortable. Timberland Pro, they have work shirts, pants, boots, and they'll dress you head to toe. You will be comfortable on that job site. Timberland Pro, not uncomfortable. All right. Questions, Matt Fondelier.
Yes. Well, you know, we actually have a Facebook page. A lot of people don't know that. Mm-hmm. You can follow us at Ace on the House, and we actually have a couple Facebook messages. Here's one from Marcy. Hey, guys, you're the first people I thought of when my mother started having problems with her kitchen contractor. The job they did was abominable, and I would like advice on how to move forward. We tried to get them to do repairs. We didn't hear from them for 3 weeks, and when I finally did get a hold of the woman, she hung up on me. Clearly, they have no intention nor the skills to make things right. So now we just want our money back and for them to remove their materials from the house so we could start over. Will you please recommend a course of action? We'd really appreciate it. Thanks in advance.
Yeah, it's difficult. Couple things. Somebody tweeted me yesterday that my show Catch a Contractor was now big in Italy. And
wow.
I'm being dubbed over in Italian.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
I don't know. I have brief thoughts of I'll go to Italy and I'll be a conquering hero and they'll roll out the red carpet and give me the keys to Italy.
Right.
And then I have other thoughts and then I forget
about
that.
That have
very
to do
quickly.
With running chasing Matt Damon in
and
a circle.
Well, I'm not getting paid. Okay. So, contractors, let's really try to work this out, Stromer.
Yeah.
What percent in your experience of not commercial contractors, but residential contractors, because I want to separate commercial from residential.
It's a different animal. You're right.
Let's just go commercial contractors and let's get away from like HVAC and possible electrician and maybe even plumber, just contractor who does the kitchen remod,
right.
Who does the work, who demos out that wall, who puts in the new wall and drywalls it and puts in the skylight. What percentage of those guys are actually there for the love of the game. Like, they take pride in their work. Their dad was a contractor. They like to work with their hands. The kind of guys that are featured in the Budweiser commercials at the end of the day, they're sitting on the porch with dad. They got the truck in the background. The tool bags are hanging over the railing of the porch, and they're hoisting a beer after doing a beautiful day of decking.
I'd say 50%.
50.
Yeah.
I feel that's – now – I'm ruined because I grew up in Southern California, and we don't really have any of those guys in SoCal. I say it's under
50%.
Really? Yeah. Also, I did a show called Catch a Contractor, where all we did was run around and catch some of the worst guys on the planet.
Sure.
But it's not like there's a whole bunch of guys who have a lot of pride in craftsmanship. There's a lot of guys who need to get by.
That's right.
And if you need to, like, you literally, you're in this country and you need to get by. Your dad's not rich and you need to get by. You're not attracted to accounting, working at a law firm or law enforcement. Like, you just can't get those jobs. Those jobs require, like, ID, two forms of ID,
background
testing.
Checks, yeah.
There's exams.
Yeah.
That are administered by the state, you know, licensing and things like that, that you realize that this is a business. Look, you don't want to work at McDonald's as a 42-year-old.
Right.
You cannot get involved with the aforementioned law enforcement or the accounting firm.
And then commission-based jobs don't work for you because you need the cash, like car salesman or anything like that. It doesn't happen.
You end up in this.
Right.
And the reason you end up in this is because all you have to do is know a little bit more than the homeowner who knows nothing.
Correct.
And you can get by with this.
Right.
Then what you do is the homeowner's getting bids on their kitchen, and they're getting a couple legitimate bids, and those legitimate bids are $70,000 to $90,000, and then you come in and you say, I'll do it for $7,000.
Yeah, and if you have a little bit of charm and the ability to be a manipulator, you can a con man goes a long way in
that game.
A little
bit of hard luck.
Right.
A lot of these guys, so here's what we do. I come in and I demo out your old kitchen.
Yeah.
And that costs me next to nothing.
That's a day.
And I dump all the crap
in
by
someone
the
else's
side of the
dumpster.
Road by Adam's studio in his toilet museum.
I've had
there.
It along my road. People dump concrete all
right,
the time.
Right. So I do that. And at some point I say, can you pay me half, $3,500? And you go, well, you're not half done. And then you tell them about how your truck's broken.
Right.
My truck's broken down.
Yeah.
Needs a new transmission.
How am I going to get the guys here?
I got to get the guys here. My truck's broken down. Little hard luck. And got a kid who's sick, and my truck's broken down. Next thing you know, they pay you half.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, then you come back, and you put in a little insulation in the walls.
Right.
And now you go for another draw, like $1,000.
Right.
Give me $1,000. And
right.
they go, what's the matter? And I go, oh, we got another problem with the head gasket on the truck now.
Right.
It's not the transmission anymore. And the person gives another $1,000. Now they're $4,500. They're in $80 in materials. They're in $300 of labor. The kitchen's torn apart, and guess who's never coming back?
And also, guess who's trying to cover for the last two jobs that they did that same thing on?
Right.
And now they're overextended, obviously.
Right. So you can talk to the contractor's licensing board, but these guys aren't registered in the contractor's
licensing board. Yeah, they're under the radar.
Because they don't have that.
Yeah.
You can go. The first thing I would do is just go online, and I would check and see if there's any record with these guys, with a board, anyone I could report them to. The next thing is leverage. What leverage do you have?
You have maybe their tools if
they
left them.
Do you have their tools?
Yeah.
How much money do you owe them? Another thing, too, is a lot of people go like, hey, I didn't pay in full. Yeah, but if you paid 85% and they did 15%, they're happy with that ratio.
That's right.
They'll move on to the next sucker. So the next thing is what do I have leverage-wise? Do you have an attorney friend? Can he write something that looks official? Can we talk about small claims court? Can we do something to kickstart them into moving toward the right direction? But then – We got a bigger philosophical problem, which is, do you want this dishonest hack finishing your kitchen?
Right.
Because I don't.
Yeah, I know.
So now we're at a point where it may be time to start looking at other contractors. And there's a certain amount of you're going to have to eat it. And there's a certain amount of onus on you. I remember when I was a builder and I would build on the cheap. I would go to Home Depot. I'd buy all the materials. I'd go to my friend Tom Johnson's shop in Chatsworth in the middle of the night, in the middle of an industrial park. He would give me the keys. I'd go in there at 5, 6 o'clock. I'd work till 4 or 5 in the morning. He had a table saw and workbenches. You know, to build cabinets,
right.
you need a cabinet right. shop. You know, if you're building them on the lawn, they're no good. And I went in and I had this recommendation of a client. She wanted an entertainment unit with drawers for the VCR tapes and where to put the TV and blah, 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 and adjustable shelves. And I gave her some quote, you know, painted, finished, done, installed for like $900 or $1,100 or something. And she was like, I got a bid for $500. And I was like, that's way too cheap. Right. I'm doing it as cheap as I can do it with materials and finish and labor and everything else. And I'm giving you a great prize. And she's like, this is $500, you know? And I said, finish, prime, painted, installed, whatever. And I just said, you're not going to be happy with the product. You're not. I know you won't be because I'm doing it as cheaply as I can do it. And this person doesn't have access to a cabinet shop. They're no professional.
And then they think that you're hustling them and you're just being a truth teller.
Right. That's... And I just said, all right, well, good luck with this person in your $500 huge entertainment unit with the drawers and the slots and the adjustable shelves and everything. And it was a disaster.
Right.
I had to be. It's impossible. So look, anytime somebody says, I'm going to clean all the carpets in your house and your bedspread for $19.95, and you bite on it, that's on you.
That's on you.
And if you get a bunch of people, if you want to do the kitchen, and you want to do the kitchen properly, and you want to do it nicely, you're going to spend thousands of dollars on the cabinets. There's no way we do catch a contractor and be like, the guy said he was going to do the master bedroom and the kitchen for $4,000. It's like, he's not going to be able to do
a
the kitchen's rough plumbing.
$30,000 easily.
Easily. Right, easily. Right.
And, you know, it's all, again, to your point.
And you talk to them and they go, with appliances? With appliances. Yeah, all Viking right. and Sub-Zero. It's like, no.
It's on you to do research. It's on you to call references. That's the main thing when it comes to homeowner contracting hiring scenarios. You got to call their references, go to the houses, look at the people whose job was done and ask them, did you like this guy, yay or nay? And if they say yay, you hire him. If not, no.
Right.
It's all about referral.
Do you have to use the old English or can you say yes or no?
Blinds galore, everybody. Oh. I tell you what, these are some beautiful blinds. And this is what's so exciting about Blinds Galore. You get the ability to customize them for your own individual windows. You're not just buying some blanket blind that's going to maybe fit, maybe not.
I say yay.
You know what I mean?
I say huzzah.
Heck yeah. Friends and family sale going on right now. Everything up to 50% off, one of their biggest sales of the year. It's not going to last forever, so hurry to blindsgalore.com. Adam, he has them. You have them.
Oh,
you love them.
We have them in our studio.
Studio has them.
We have them in our edit bays. Yeah. I have them in my house.
You don't want light? You put the Blinds Galore to work, and boy, you can't see anything in or out, right? High quality, 100% custom-built blinds and shades created to your exact measurements. That's the key, by the way. Over 15 years experience, over 2 million windows and counting. Team of experts located right down there in Southern California, San Diego, to help you online or over the phone every single step of the way. Blinds Galore will even set you up with free samples and free shipping on top of the free expertise. You hear all that free stuff? Matt, go ahead.
Blinds Galore makes it easy to get the 100% custom blinds and shades you've always wanted in your home. Their friends and family sales going on now, so check out blindsgalore.com before it ends on March 28th. Let them know we sent you. That's blindsgalore.com.
He comes alive when he does that, doesn't he? Look at him, Matt.
It's like glowing. The only two times Matt's alive is when he's reading commercial copy or dancing.
That's it. Did you see him dance the other night?
Just the A-listers. They don't let any of the schlubs out on the parking
lot. But he was out in the parking lot doing it alone, wasn't he?
Yeah, and parking some cars. Mike, 40, Nebraska.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's going on, Mike?
Nothing. Recently moved into a newer house, although it was built in the 60s, and basement's kind of unfinished. The floors are basically concrete with some, like, AstroTurf-looking really cheap carpet on them.
Yeah.
Wondering how difficult it is, how complicated a job it is to put, say, tile or some wood laminate down there.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mike, is that glue down on that slab in the basement?
Forgive me for sounding really dumb. I'm a graphic designer. It is the carpet is glued down and it's really cheap. That's about all I know.
And can you pull it up? Can you pull it up with your hand when you try and lift it off the cement? Or is it really tough to get up?
No, it's pretty easy. This is a house that was flipped, and a lot of the stuff they used was kind of cheap, and the basement was kind of unfinished, so they didn't put a lot of effort into it.
Okay.
I thought about maybe doing this as an experiment.
How are you doing for moisture?
Yeah, that's it. That's what I was going to say, yep.
Not bad, actually. We haven't had any real good rains yet, but it's not bad so far. Haven't found any leaks.
So if you're fairly confident about the moisture, there's many directions we can go. So first off, we're going to pull up the old stuff, right?
Right.
Now, listen, I've seen Goodfellas and many mobster movies, and my advice is before you pull up that old carpet, find the guy around the office you hate the most.
And have him
tell him you want to show him your man cave. Don't have him do it. Bring him down to the basement. Make sure he's centered on that carpet and put him out of his misery. And then just wrap him up in the carpet.
That's
Otherwise,
right.
It's kind of a waste.
Yeah, a waste of a good carpet.
Right. And you're just throwing it away. Right? So that's first piece of advice. Now we get to the actual building advice. You're down to the slab at this point.
But the key to Adam's point about moisture, you have to make sure that it's not leaching moisture, because if it does, any treatment you put on there will come up and be a problem. So you got to make sure. Okay. And if you do have moisture, a dehumidifier or get it on sleepers and raise the floor. But go ahead, Adam.
Sleepers would be you taking 2x material or 1x material. As a matter of fact, I kind of like the 2x action. Or sorry, the 1x action, although I don't know. I've not seen a lot of pressure-treated 1x stock.
Like you'd have 1x to rip it,
fours.
Probably. Yeah.
On the other hand, there's certainly 1x redwood or something,
right,
which you don't think of as sleeper material, but it would work
for sleeper material.
And then you talk about, well, how you doing? I'll give you A, B, and C.
Okay.
Okay. The expensive whatever way of doing this would be, and how level and flat and everything else is this floor down here?
So far, it seems fairly level. Like I said, it's kind of an old house, but it's not on a hill. It hasn't sank. It doesn't seem like the house is shifting.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like a pretty good canvas to work with.
Okay. So here's an A, B, and C. One way to really prep this thing for then doing like a laminate floor, like you're talking about,
right,
like a pre-engineered laminate snap together floor,
which is good because it has a vapor barrier,
which is good. So there's a version where you put 1x or 2x treated sleepers down, strips of, every 2 feet or 24 on center of pressurized treated wood, right?
Right, to keep it from rotting.
And you put down subfloor adhesive and you shoot it down to the slab, or better yet, you put tech screws, or not tech screws, what are the blue ones? God damn it.
The blue devils, the ones that go into concrete, right?
Yeah. Use concrete screws.
Right.
I'll think of the name of it in a second. But so it doesn't pop.
Right.
Then you go over the whole thing with a half inch of marine grade plywood.
That's it.
Look out, world.
We love it because you're up off the cement and there's no moisture possible.
And then you put your laminate on top of that. Now, that's going to take a little time. It's going to kick the whole thing up an inch and a half or whatever.
But it's the way to go, I think.
It's pretty darn good if you want to go with the laminate on the floor. If not, you can go just pure vapor barrier on the floor. The paint on, the mastic style, the trowel on vapor barrier, do the floor, put the put the laminate style snap together floating floor on top of that. And that should be pretty good as well. And then there's just your tile version of this.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, thin set, you know, scratch.
There's also engineered floor with the they have like a vapor barrier that's made out of this foam material that could just go over the cement slab and then the snap together floor on top of that. But I like please do A if you have a budget for it, because it'll really make the floor feel more insulated. It won't feel like a dank basement when moisture does show up.
People don't realize too that there is a difference between walking on something that's on a slab versus walking on something that has a little give to
like a
it.
Basketball court.
It's a better feel. So if you can do the sleepers being, let's just say, pressure treated 2x4s, 24 on center,
yep,
and then skim them, I think you could do a half inch, maybe a 5/8 or half inch, but a marine grade ply would be nice, like a water resistant ply on top of that, and then just put your floating floor on that. That might be interesting. You could even do the foam on top of the ply.
That's it.
And then do that. They also have, and now I was just told by our friend Charles, they have carpet squares at like Home Depot now. I love these things, the 2x2 squares.
Well, like the floor system, it's called.
You just put them down, and then you can take them up and replace them, and if they go bad. So there's a version of this. Although it's not going to feel good on your Tootsies, but it can look good and it can be done quickly and inexpensively where you put the tile squares down. And then there's a version where you do the sleepers, the plywood, and put the tile.
Yeah.
The carpet tiles on top of the ply.
Oh, wow.
What do you think of that?
Look
Mike?
At the, it's called FLOR. Look at this floor system. That's like a Danish company, I think. Beautiful patterns, really great quality product. So if the dog craps on the floor, you can pull up one of the tiles, wash it in the sink, or replace it.
But not good for snuffing coworkers.
No,
because when you try to roll them into the thing, they keep popping off.
You could do limbs, though. If you cut back limbs up to two-foot sections.
And you could kind of make a soft taco out of the guy's arm. But
a burrito limb taco.
Hey, Mike, what do you plan on doing down there?
Dismembering. It's snuffing coworkers first. But no, I actually have my office is down there. If you're a hoity-toity designer, you call it your studio. Uh-huh. Not really that.
Yeah, but, you're going to want to go with A, because if you're going to spend time there working and it feels moist and dank like a basement, you'll never want to be in your office.
That's a good point. And it's kind of a thing, too, where I'd like to just do it to teach myself more of this stuff. And I picked a bit too big of a project to start with.
No, this is something.
No, this is.
You got to do this.
Sorry, Tapcons are the blue screws.
Tapcons
are what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
I don't think this is a bridge too far for you.
Okay.
One of the things you may want to do if you're doing these sleepers is you put the one in, let's say, on the perimeter against one side of the wall, and before you put your next one in, level over to it. You might want to put some shims or something under it.
Oh, to level that floor,
I don't know how good that floor is.
Do you have a table saw? In your life?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, okay. Yep. You could cut them to different heights to achieve level, which would be kind of amazing also, because nothing's worse than a floor that feels like the set of Batman TV series back in the 60s where it's slanted.
But right? if it's they call that dutching the camera.
Dutching.
But if they if you say it's good the way it is, I think you could do it, and I think you could easily do it. I think you can easily do what we're talking about.
Oh, excellent. Maybe
send us pictures.
When I'm working. Oh, go ahead.
What? Is he there?
Oh, mm-hmm. Hello, sorry. Yeah. I was going to say maybe when I get started on this, Adam, I'll update my Corolla in color page when I'm on Twitter and Instagram, show you how it's going.
That's good.
Please, look, the studio we're in right now has a bunch of sleepers on a slab.
Yeah.
And the reason I put the sleepers on the slab and the reason I went with the carpet squares in this studio is because we have chases where we're running a lot of electrical and cables and things of that nature from this console. Mm-hmm. So I built this console and had this idea about putting it up on these big like 4-inch steel tubes, and then running all the wiring down the steel tubing and then coming out the steel tubing and running it all into those booths there. And we made sure and put the sleepers down, obviously got them going the right direction where we could run
parallel to the cable stuff there.
But also we made access so that we could pull up the carpet squares, pull up the ply that was on top of the sleepers that was on top of the chase where the wires went in case we needed to fix something or add something.
This is essentially a recording studio technology that you have here. That's why it feels cozy and like when you clap, there's no echo. It's a dead sounding room.
Hold on. What were you just doing?
Clapping. You see that?
I wasn't looking.
You can't even tell, right?
Oh, when I look at you, I can see you putting your hands
together. Isn't that amazing?
But no sound is coming out. All right. So we put these up on sleepers, and I built myself a nice custom threshold to get us up off of the slab and up onto this height. You know, my claim to fame is building custom thresholds.
Is it really?
I love building custom
thresholds.
Why?
You just don't like a bad transition, do you?
I look at it. Stromer, I'm going to talk about Tommy John. Go marvel at that threshold. Right. See how wide it is. See about the elevation change. Be prepared to be impressed.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about Tommy John. Spring has sprung. That means it's time for some spring cleaning, and that means Tommy John. Get rid of all that's in your old underwear drawer and go with the mind-blowing comfort of Tommy John. Underwear never rides up. Waistbands never roll down. It's wedgie-proof. Plus socks that never fall down. Undershirts that stay tucked in. And second skin tees. Wrinkle resistant, they never shrink, all backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. I wear these things. Everyone here wears these things nonstop. It's a breakthrough. There's not been think about the tidy whities. The ones my dad wore as a youth in South Philly in the 40s were exactly the same as the ones I wore when I was 40 myself, living in the hills of Hollywood.
Technology didn't change.
And then Tommy John came around and touched our world. Anyway, Tommy John, no adjustment needed, man.
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam and get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
You know, I've seen,
see that threshold?
I've seen the Sistine Chapel.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the Duomo in Milan. I've seen many beautiful architecturally significant things in my life. But that threshold, I don't even know
what
it's two tier. It's two-tiered.
It's two-tiered.
It's like a wedding cake.
And it brought a third tier to your eye.
Oh, God, you're good with the words.
It's good. I built hundreds of those literally. I did it at my old house.
It's a huge issue for me with tile for years, where carpet meets tile, where hardwood meets floor, you know, whatever the flooring systems that have to come together. If it's wrong, you sense it when you walk into a room, you feel it on your feet, you stumble, you trip. It's visually unappealing. If it's right, guess what? Seamless.
Yeah.
By the way, screw you, and I'll tell you why.
Hmm.
I got off the plane two times. What did I notice? And was it what am I obsessed with
at
now?
At the airport?
Yep.
Terrazzo.
Terrazzo. I said to my kid, look at that terrazzo. And he goes, whatever. And then he just keeps
It's the greatest.
Every airport has the terrazzo.
It's all terrazzo.
Oh, my God.
It's all terrazzo.
Yeah. And you're getting it in your house. God bless you.
I made, speaking of transitions, Gary, I must have taken a picture. Lynette took a picture. But I had some vinyl flooring in my den, and I made a transition from my kitchen terrazzo into this thing simply by going online and buying I don't know what they call it, a transition, a reducer, whatever.
Reducer, yeah.
And this was just rubber. But you got to cut it right. You got to fit it right. You got to put the angles on it, and you got to lay it out. I was remarkably proud of myself because I went from the terrazzo in the kitchen to the I think it was like a linoleum, old school linoleum in the kids' room. And it turned out great. And I think Lynette took a picture of it, but
does she care about transitions like you do? No.
She it's so weird. It is I I don't think there's a woman who cares less about this stuff. Like, if there is, I haven't met her. Like, I don't mean that as a pejorative. It's just she truly, truly doesn't care.
Yeah.
Truly. And I don't think I've met a man that is, I'll qualify it. I don't think there's a man who's straight who doesn't do this for a living. Meaning, hey, well, you work down at the design center and you're gay and this is your entire life.
Right.
You go to every expo, right. You travel, you have clients on the East Coast. Like, oh, so I'm going to get rid of those guys. And I'm going to say a straight guy who does not do this, meaning the decor, the remods, the, you know, picking out the which carpet goes with which, having this custom sofas made.
So design thing.
I don't think there's, who builds the decks and stuff.
Right.
I don't think there's anybody who's further into it than I am.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any woman in North America and probably in parts of Central America who care about it less than my wife.
Yeah.
Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. I think you said it best. You got the gay eye.
I got the gay eye. But is there anyone who cares less than Lynette? And again, not in a pejorative way, but she's as interested in this as I am in the kids' schooling.
I'd say that's fair.
I feel like this union reminds me of the great hit Ebony and Ivory.
Mm. Or there's Jack Frack and his wife. Was it Jack Frack?
Jack Fat? Frack? Wait, Jack Spratt.
Spratt. Yeah. Jack Spratt.
You're thinking of fracking.
Jack Spratt and his wife.
Who ain't no fat. No, the lean.
Jack Spratt eat no fat.
Yes.
His wife could eat no lean.
Yeah.
So between the two of them, they licked the platter clean.
Yeah. Please high five.
Right. But this would be that story. It'd be like if Jack Spratt could eat no fat, so his wife went in the other room and shut the door.
Right.
That's how my story would go.
Jack Spratt could eat no fat and love transitions and design. Other than that, it was great. Hey, you know what? Danner boots, baby doll. I'm wearing them right now. Look
at
them.
I love them.
They're meaty, delicious, born from logging and exploration. Danner is a Pacific Northwest original. I mean, these are born of the wilderness, of guys and gals out there working in the fields and the trees and cutting stuff. And how do you have footwear that protects but also has design sensibility?
You want both. You need both.
Of course you
need form and function.
Of course. And every one of these boots is handmade to hold up in unforgiving conditions, meaning streams, rivers, trees falling on them, things, you know, tools cutting at your feet, but nothing happens. Why? Danner boots. The Stronghold work boot. 85 years of legendary quality. And durability meets modern construction, technology, and materials. Tomorrow's classic, today, the Stronghold Work Boot. Find your local store at danner.com. And think about this. You know, when you're walking around with these fancy boots on, people are going to say those look good and they also work well.
Yeah.
Right. Danner boots.
Yep. Looks and cooks. Gary got hold of Lynette. And asked her about those transitions.
Yeah.
And we'll see if we see them or not. They're not breathtaking.
Right.
I just remember laying it down. She took a picture of me and she threw it up on her Instagram or something like that. And I don't know enough about technology to know if that stuff lives up there.
If she posted it, I may be able to find it. And she said that she can also get it to me. It'll just take her a few minutes.
She posted it, I seem to think. So
Mrs. Stromer does something a little bit different. She says to me, because if I hire people, I don't know if you're this way, but if I hire people to do stuff around my house, I end up micromanaging them and driving them crazy, and then they quit, and they walk away from me because they hate me, because I'm like, why are you doing it that way? It's wrong.
Right.
They get offended and leave. So Mrs. Stromer now does things like, you know, the lawn sure looks bad. I think I might call a guy. And then like 10 seconds later, I'm out there mowing the lawn. So she's got the psychology. She's done the reverse psychology, the jujitsu of human dynamics, if you will. She does that. It works, I think.
All right. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So you'd be out there mowing the lawn. She's in the house having sex with a guy
that she hired.
Right. Okay. That's a good plan. I put down gravel and succulents, so I never get drawn into that.
Do you like the succulents?
I got to tell you, everybody, look, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a little story about the Ace Man and his hair.
Oh.
Okay?
Okay.
And then I'm going to...
By the way, curly, luscious locks of love. I mean, what could be... I can't wait. Let me put it to you this way. What could be a better story to sit back and listen to?
Let me use my hair as a metaphor.
Please do.
For planting responsibly in the climate you're living in.
That's a very good thing to talk about. Let's go.
Okay. Now, I have taken what the hero over at Supercuts...
Wait, you don't get your hair cut at Supercuts.
Well, okay.
Don't you have a fancy A-list?
Let me tell you a couple things.
Okay.
and remind me, Matt. Don't let me forget to get back to my metaphor. I just told this story. Molly Ringwald's sister, Beth Ringwald, married a very popular celebrity hairstylist who did her sister Molly Ringwald's hair.
Okay. During the heyday of Molly. Really?
He was a hotshot hair guy. You know he was a hotshot hair guy from the 80s, early 90s because he had a leather wristband.
No!
With no watch on it. That meant I'm straight and I do hair. You need a, like...
You know what?
It has to be like an inch and seven-eighths wide to 2 1/4.
Yeah.
It has to be just black leather.
Yeah.
And it has to do nothing.
And you know what else he might have?
It doesn't hold a watch.
You know what else he might have? Mm. A scissor holster.
Scissor holster. Although, one could argue that that had some place in his world. Yeah. The leather wristband, unclear what that accomplished and how that aided him in cutting hair. Maybe some form of protection.
Mm, for straight razor protection,
but it seems
maybe.
Like everyone who cuts my hair for $13 a pop does not don any leather wristbands. But he had the leather wristband.
Of course he did.
And he was a hipster, and he cut the hair.
Yes, he did.
Now,
probably motivated by the great film Shampoo.
Yes.
Which was fantastic,
that's right.
By the way. Julie Christie, my first crush.
Warren Beatty.
Love her.
My first crush. Yeah. So, he was living with Beth.
Yeah.
They were married at the time.
And Beth Ringwald is older than Molly.
She's a few years older.
Okay.
She's my age. Molly's a few years younger.
Okay.
And a beautiful young girl. And they're married. And she calls me and says, we need a new water heater in our Sherman Oaks house. And because I was incredibly honest, I wasn't incredibly honest. I had super low self-esteem. I would do these stupid barters with people. And my barters when I was a carpenter would be, I get $15 an hour, straight up.
Yeah.
And if I go buy you a water heater at Home Depot and put it in my truck and bring it over to your house, I'm not on the clock yet. I'm on the clock when I get to your house.
Oh.
I was stupid. I was stupid.
No, that, some say it could be honorable.
No.
Stupid.
It was bad. It was low self-esteem.
Okay.
I should have said, look, it's going to take me 2 hours to go buy the stuff and get the stuff and bring it to the house.
Yeah.
And that's part of the deal. But I wouldn't do that. Anyway.
Under Earners Anonymous.
I went to them. I said, look, I get $15 an hour. So I could probably do this whole thing in about 5 hours or something. And he said, well, this guy charges $80 or $90 or $100 with a tip or whatever for a haircut. Now, at the time, I was getting $9 haircuts. So I said, I would like to see what a $100 haircut looked like on this head.
And hope he'd wear that leather strap.
I knew he'd be wearing the leather.
You did? Okay.
So I went to their house.
Yeah. And how was your hair before it was cut?
Looked the same as it does now. My hair hasn't changed in 40 years.
Okay.
I went to the house. I installed a water heater in their house.
Yeah.
No charge to them. And then I went to this guy's studio in Studio City, and I sat down where the stars sit, probably offered a coffee, you know, high-end.
Yep.
Some foam on the top.
Some sort of tray.
And he got out his leather wristband and his holster, and he cut my hair. And when we were done, I'd done $100 worth of work for him. Took me 5 or 7 hours.
Yeah.
He did $100 worth of haircutting to me. Took him 35 minutes. And my hair looked the same as it did when I left Fantastic Sam's or Supercuts or the Mexican place on Ventura. Model cuts and pictures of models, so you know they're good, like Nagel paintings. And you,
I can have the posters. Seven. I'd like the number seven, please.
Yeah, that's what it is. And I said, thanks. You know, pretty much just looks like my hair, though.
Did you say, thanks, enjoy your hot water, leather boy?
Yeah, and he said, yeah, there's really not much we can do with your hair. Like, your hair just basically has one cut, and that one cut can be achieved by a $9 guy, or can do, you can pay me $100, but it's going to be the same.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I learned about haircutting. Now, oh, we have the transition in my kitchen video. We can throw that up for you.
But wait, weren't we supposed to remind you?
I will all tell you. All right. That's the terrazzo tile.
Wow. Look at the precision.
What you doing, honey?
I'm making an intricate cut for my quarter tile here.
I'm trying to cut a bird's beak into this thing. Get the angle just right for the for the transition
very
from the kitchen tile.
That's good
and
stuff.
Came out. I
like how you couched it. I'm cutting an intricate cut.
Yeah, that's code for leave me alone.
Good job, man. Okay, so continue, for God's sake.
The hair. All right, I'll tell you about the hair.
Yeah.
And the planting.
Yeah, it's comparing your hair, luscious locks of love, to succulents. Let's begin.
Ground cover, things of that nature. Yeah. At the other shop here, every home I've lived in.
Yeah.
First, I'll tell you about what's in my home. Okay. Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. Anything that gets thrown at it, Simply Safe is ready. A storm takes out your power, Simply Safe is there. Simply Safe is ready. Intruder cuts your phone line or destroys your keypad or siren. It does not matter. It is there. It is there. Simply Safe will still get the help you need to you. Could cost an arm and a leg, and it should, but it doesn't. They charge you what's fair, $14.99 a month, no contracts, no hidden fees, up and running for guys who like to make their own transitions. This thing could be hooked up, and for guys who can't, even guys like Mike August and Dawson and all those guys, they got this stuff up and running in under an hour. I recommend Simply Safe to everyone I know. We all have it around here. Even Garrigus has it. Check it out. Go today to Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. SimplySafe.com/ace. SimplySafe.com/ace. Have them take care of you. Okay. Here's my powerful analogy.
Okay.
I have pre-anointed it powerful.
Yeah, of course.
I'm going to write this down.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think we should instruct people to get out a pen and take a couple of notes here, because something special is about to arrive. Here we go.
Okay. My hair.
Yeah.
If you find pictures of me when I was in the seventh grade, if you find pictures of me when I was a young lad,
yeah,
my hair was straight.
You're kidding.
Straight hair. And then you find pictures of me in the seventh grade, and it starts getting bushy and curly and kinky. It essentially went through the exact same trajectory as the three boys from the Brady Bunch. The three boys from the Brady Bunch's hair.
Transition.
You look at season one and season two of the Brady Bunch, they had very straight hair. You look at season three and season four, they had curly hair that they were trying to make straight. So they're like Darth Vader's helmet, like pulling it down and combing it down. By season five and season six, they all had froze.
Sure.
Because they went with what their hair was doing.
I see.
Now, the dad, Mike, I think he just got the perm to fit in with
boys. He did have a perm. You're right.
The boys were going through puberty and a transition, and their hair was changing.
Yeah.
The first thing you do is you fight your hair.
Right.
So you say, hey, I have straight hair. And then one day you wake up and your hair's sticking up in the air, and you go, you lick your hand and you pat it down and you get a brush and you go, get down.
Yeah.
I shall take this hair and I shall attempt to get it to do something it wasn't
it's not
meant
supposed to do.
Meant to do.
Yeah.
And guess what's going to fight me? Nature and hair. It all it does is fight. I've had houses in the San Fernando Valley where I had a front lawn, tried to have that, you know, beautiful green putting green in the front, had the front lawn. You see where the sprinklers are and where they didn't overlap, meaning they just went in a circle, but the circles were 6 inches apart. The grass was dead.
Yellow, dead.
In between were the two. And I thought to myself eventually, and the sprinkler heads were breaking and shooting up in the air, and it was either too much water or too little. And I just, at a certain point, I went, this isn't meant to be.
Right.
I took it all out. I put in, you put in, now this is not for the backyard, front yard. You put in the succulents, like at the other shop. I don't touch the front of that other shop. The cactus just flourish. I mean, we went to Home Depot a few years back. We bought stuff in a Dixie cup. And I mean, stuff was 4 or 5 inches high, size of like somebody took a light bulb and just planted it into a paper cup with some dirt in it. Planted it. Those things are now 3, 4, 5 feet up in the air.
And you never water it.
Never water it. Never touch it. And because you never water it, you never have to weed it. You don't have the water brings in all the bad stuff too.
Right.
And all, you know, for your wrought iron fencing and stuff, the sprinklers, the paint's bubbling off, it's corroding. The side of the house is all screwed up because it's on the siding and the paint's coming off and it's getting water damage. You're fighting nature. The back of the house, I put down the synthesized lawn. I just rolled out the stuff. By the way, the stuff.
You have that? Like the,
yeah, you say it looks too green or too weird or too fake or too phony, like a bad boob job. You can get the California stuff that has a little gray in it.
No.
Has like a couple of.
What happens when the dog craps on it? What do you just hose
it right up?
Do you hose it off?
No, pick it up and throw it out.
Okay.
It's easy. Now, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Don't try to get your front yard or your backyard to do what the climate doesn't want it to do.
Indigenous plants.
It's going to be a constant battle versus planting that cactus and walking away.
Yeah.
I mean, literally walk away. I've done it in my other house. I've done it. I took cactuses that started off at 16 inches at my other house in Lake Hollywood, or the other house under the Hollywood sign. And when it was time to leave, they were like 12 feet tall. I took it with me.
Sure.
Pull them off. You carry them with a garden hose and replanted them all over the place. Easiest thing in the world.
Yeah, and for folks that live in these different climates, there's literature out there at your local nursery where they can actually tell you what zone you're in and then take you to the plants that are indigenous to the area that you live in.
By the time my hair got into the ninth grade, it was so weird and curly, and I was so busy fighting it and trying to comb it down.
What'd you put in it to try and keep it down?
We didn't have product. My family didn't have product. We didn't have food. Forget about product. We didn't have baking soda. I literally had one of my friends, Chris Bohm, his mom, not a smart woman.
Heart of gold.
Heart of gold, but inadvertently cruel. From the mouth of babes.
Yeah.
And by the way, it should be from the mouth of babes and dumb people.
Yeah.
Like, they don't really do that because Ray is not a babe, but he's a dumb person. He would say dumb stuff. Like, he would ask people all the time, like, why are you so fat? You know, like you're going to break that chair if you sit on it. You're too fat.
Yeah.
Like, that's not from the mouth of a babe.
No.
That's the mouth of a dumb guy.
That's right.
He'd do a lot of that. Barbara Bohm was dumb, and she just looked at me once when I was, like, in the ninth grade, and she said, do you have a vitamin deficiency? And I said, I don't know. No? And she went, well, what's wrong with your hair?
Oh, no.
I don't know. If I had some more vitamin D or something. Hair. Anyway, my hair was a mess. I couldn't get it to do. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
I walked down to the Supercuts on Laurel Canyon when I was like in the 10th grade. I was like 15. I walked down there. I sat down in the seat, and I said what I always would say. I was just like, you got to cut the thick curl stuff off and, like, thin it out and get it to, like, sit down. It's like keeps wanting to pop up and stand up everything else. And she just went, yeah, I know what to do. And she gave me a haircut.
Yeah.
And then when she was done, she got it wet, and she did it. She did that move.
With the fingers.
With the fingers on both hands.
Yeah, like, that's right.
Both sides of my head.
Yeah.
And she said, don't touch it. Just walk home. But don't touch it.
Really?
Don't get out a brush. And I, and it was hot outside.
Yeah.
And I walked home. And when I walked home, by the time I got home, this is way down Laurel Canyon. I was about like 2 miles away. I had this hair. I had the hair you see now. I had a fro.
So she defined your look. She defined your look at this time.
I had a fro, and I was like, what happened? And she's like, and I remember thinking, oh, this is what it was supposed to be. I was fighting with it,
sure.
Like you trying to grow daffodils and a putting green on your front lawn.
That's right.
Don't fight it. Go with the fro, bro. And I went with this, and I remember walking into school the next day, and everyone went, oh, you got a permanent. It looks good. And I go, no, I didn't do anything. This is what my hair looks like when you cut it medium short, wet it, and let it dry. This is what it turns into.
You know, we got to find her again and tell her that she defined
she's a hero.
Look. She's a hero. In my world, she's a hero.
Yeah.
Because she let you be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And she did that finger thing.
She did the two. She did the
two-hand finger thing.
Finger thing. Both sides finger thing. Mm-hmm. Hero. All right. Let me do one more call here.
Yeah.
Dave, Michigan, 35.
Ace.
What's going
How
on,
are
man?
You?
Yeah, man.
Hey, Stromer.
What's up, man?
Hey, nothing much. Nothing much. Just getting everything all taken care of for work for tomorrow. Just got done with work a few hours ago. Anyway, my question, I got a question about plaster. My fiance and I, we bought a house about 2 years ago. And when we moved in, it had an old refrigerator and it had a leaking ice maker. And well, we didn't know it at the time, but so we
floor
painted
damage,
the wall.
Plaster damage.
Plaster damage. We painted the wall and it started bubbling up.
Yeah.
And,
Year's the house?
1960.
So you must have button board under that plaster, right?
Isn't that stuff amazing? Button board, what a system.
Well, it's also kind of weird that they used to put hundreds and thousands of pieces of little skinny lath on the wall.
Oh.
And then somebody went, wait a minute, this takes up way too much time. Why don't we just put like a plaster board with little divots in it up, and we'll put that up, and then we can put the plaster on top of that. And then some genius went, hey, maybe if we didn't put the divots in the board, we could just put it up once, and we'll call it drywall.
The evolution of drywall, right?
Yeah.
I would love to have drywall in this house here.
Yeah.
But this plaster, we've been remodeling it as the years go by, you know, the past few years we've been here.
But you are finding the button board under the plaster?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And not the lath. So the question is what?
Well, it's, quite honestly, it looks like crap. And I was wondering if I could just take that little section of the wall. It's, if I had to guesstimate, it's probably the bubbling, you know, the damage and everything. It's about 2 feet up and about 3 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
And would I be able to just kind of cut that section of wall out, put some drywall in, and just kind of patch it up so it looks good?
Or yes.
Is it going to be a little?
No, you can. Okay, but my concern is it sounds to me like there's water coming from the roof somehow.
No, it's the fridge, right? I don't know.
Yes,
the fridge
it
waked up. Okay, let me tell everyone everything all the time. If you're going to do a patch like this, first off, you got to flake off everything until it stops flaking off.
Yeah.
It's like a cancer.
It is like a
cancer. You have to keep cutting it until you're
like
done.
Like 2 inches beyond the cancer.
Right. I also would say, instead of cutting a piece of drywall to fit this thing, perhaps, sometimes it's a good idea to cut a piece of drywall a little oversized, put it against this, trace it out, and then cut it out. So you're almost cutting out the female side to the male side,
right,
which already existed. You know what
right,
I mean? So cut your drywall first, make it a little hangover, a little on the right, left, and above, push it up there, trace it out, cut the plaster out, and drop it in. There's that technique. get your elevations right, man. Don't
That's
have
everything.
That drywall dink in
no.
3/8 of an inch or whatever it is.
They sell cardboard shims for that very reason.
Whatever it takes,
yep.
The finished height of that drywall has to be exactly what the existing plaster is, or a millimeter thinner, a Smurf's ass hair lighter, not prouder,
yeah.
Lighter. It either dead nuts on.
Yep.
Or hair lighter, and then you can tape it and skim it and feather it.
And then you may have to work on matching texture, which you can do off-site on a spare piece of the drywall that you have to practice that texture if it's going to be visible.
Good. Tell the people what they need to know about Geico.
You know what they got to know. Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list, right? You drop off dry cleaning. You pick up some milk. Speaking of milk, I don't know about your kids. I get a gallon of milk every day and a half. That's how much I have to get.
Yeah.
Save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And you
That's
don't have to drop. It sure is. Hundreds of dollars on car insurance, and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket. That's the most rewarding to-do you can do today. The good news about Geico, it works. You need insurance. You got to go to Geico. They got great commercials, too.
Now, I'm thinking about this milk thing.
Yeah.
And I'm also going to like try to tie it into my whole indigenous plant thing.
Yeah.
The yard's fine. I got the cactus. I got the AstroTurf in the back. Very indigenous. Kids, not indigenous.
No.
They're like, hey, old man, call Grubhub. We want Panera for breakfast on a weekday. I need indigenous kids.
That's right.
I got the lawn taken care of, but these kids are costing me.
See, we could have kids that know how to milk cows and have a cow on the AstroTurf and get milk for free.
I'm going to take a step further.
Where are you going?
I want a couple young American Indian kids.
Yeah, you do.
And they're going to be like, what's for dinner? And I'm going to be like, I see any buffaloes around? Like, I don't know. Go grab something sharp, your loincloth on, and hit the bricks, man.
Or jerky.
Pemmican.
Yeah.
We're thirsty, Daddy. Well, go find a stream, bitch.
Yeah.
Like, what can I tell you?
Here's tubers.
I'm going to be here count my wampum and smoking my peace pipe.
That's it.
And with my young, what do they call them? Not a papoose.
Squaws.
I got my squaws over here.
Yeah.
I may be tanning a hide or something. Go hit it. And they're going to be like, but Dad, we haven't eaten in days. Well, because you haven't killed a buffalo.
That's it.
Go hit it. Go hit it, man.
Grubhub.
Indigenous kids.
Isn't that nice?
I love it. All right. No homework.
None.
Your homework? Kill a buffalo. All right. April 6th, me, Capitol Theater. That is Madison, Wisconsin. June 9th, Aladdin Theater, Portland. First ever special. We're filming a comedy special at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. We love all you guys. Go to AdamCarolla.com for everything you need. What do you got, Stroger?
Going back to the doctors again for more specialty advice on the medical as it relates to, home improvement stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what should we do?
You got to keep your air filters clean, and you got to do all sorts of changing when it comes to HVAC systems. You can't just let that stuff get
inborne.
You know
allergens.
What I mean?
Yeah. Airborne, in-house. Yeah. All right. So until next time, Adam Carolla for Eric Stromer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.